Well, good evening. Trust everyone's had a good week this week. Looking forward to getting some into our Bible study and prayer time tonight, as well as our services on Sunday. Please do not forget, we still have new invitation cards are out in the foyer. Make sure you take some with you. And just a friendly reminder, if you leave one at the table at the restaurant with a tip, make sure you're nice and make sure you leave a generous tip as well. And then, of course, a handout there and invite someone, as Pastor always says, invite a friend, invite a neighbor, invite an enemy, but invite somebody to church for services on Sunday, and looking forward to that. All right, let's go ahead and we'll have a word of prayer. It's good to have some visitors with tonight. We'll introduce Brother BJ in just a moment and give him a minute to tell you a bit about their ministry. Be praying for them as they're kind of coming in the fallout for a little while from Colorado and be hitting some churches and traveling a little bit, so you pray for them. They're out in my neck of the woods, and Brother Cherry's neck of the woods are out toward Tonopah, set up in their motorhome. And so you pray for them while they're out there. They're here at the right time of the year if they're going to be in a motorhome for sure. All right, let's go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer tonight. We'll sing our first song. Father, we do love you and thank you for your goodness, your blessings and joy of service and fellowship. Pray that you bless our time together. May you be uplifted and glorified through our singing, through our time of fellowship, Lord, and most importantly, during our prayer time and preaching and teaching of your word. Now, Father, again, meet with us and do what only you can do tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Lord, I pray that you'd help us tonight, Lord, as we transition into time in your word. And I pray that you'd be uplifted and glorified. I pray that you'd help me to convey the truths from Scripture, Lord, that will help us in our everyday walk and in everyday life, Lord. And we'll be careful to praise you and thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you have your handouts tonight, heard of that. All right, if you turn our Bibles to Proverbs chapter 11, and we'll get there and read that verse in just a moment, Proverbs chapter 11, and we'll continue our journey through, not through the book of Proverbs, but different verbs and adjective and word studies that we'll do. And we started on Proverbs on acceptance or approval this past week, and we talked about now the idea in the culture and the world that we live in today, that so many people are looking for acceptance and approval on social media, which is the last place they need to be looking for acceptance and approval, especially our teenagers and our young people. And it's not just our teenagers, our young adults, that younger generation that struggle with that. Our acceptance and approval, of course, is found in Christ and honoring him, but also in our church family and other friends and relatives of like faith. We talked about this past week, wisdom leads to approval, and we'll go a little further tonight and let her be. An accurate weight is his delight. An accurate weight is his delight. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 1. A false balance is abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight. And so we'll have a few other past scriptures. A just weight is accurate, honest. So are we accurate and honest in our conversation, in our deeds, our communication, and our fellowship? We should strive to be accurate and honest with people, even and especially in our teaching and preaching of the Word of God. Pastors, teachers, Sunday school teachers, ladies groups, whatever it may be, where we make sure that we are accurate. We spend the time in study. We spend the time in preparation, even with our illustrations, even with our examples. We should make sure that they are accurate. Make sure that what you're teaching, again, and preaching is not only accurate, but is truthful and that it is biblical. I talked to my dad a few years back when we came off the mission field, and I was talking to him a little bit. He made mention that he service to see one of his grandchildren baptized. And I said, well, how was he? He said, well, I'm so glad to see a grandchild make a public profession and follow the Lord in believer's baptism. He said, but I saw more of the gospel in the baptism than I did in the preaching of the Word of God during that service. And he said, how sad and discouraging as a dad and as a grandfather. It's so important that we study the Bible and we make sure that we present it clearly. Make sure that what you are teaching or preaching, again, is accurate. This kind of behavior, when we look at our business, see, in your business matters. In your personal affairs matter. We need to make sure as we deal with people that we also deal in truthfulness, honesty, integrity, because those things are essential. And this is the kind of behavior that delights or is acceptable with God. Anything and everything we do, not just at church, but our everyday life should be presenting the truth and biblical principles. So an accurate weight is his delight. So how do we measure up? is our conversation, is our activities, is our Bible study, is our conversation, is our fellowship pleasing, is it delightful to the Lord? Letter C, integrity and uprightness are his delight. Integrity and uprightness. We all appreciate integrity and honesty, but God delights or approves of our integrity. God loves those who follow after righteousness. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 11 and verse 20, the Bible says, "They that are of a froward heart are abomination to the Lord, but such as are upright in their way are his delight." And we see that phrase there, a froward heart. It literally means distorted from the right, abstinent, or in error. Those who are stubborn in their erroneous ways are an abomination unto the Lord. You ever see someone that they know that they're wrong, but yet they won't give up? They keep running down that road. They won't give up. Stay with it no matter what the circumstance. Again, the Lord says he wants those who follow after righteousness. Those folks are stubborn in their erroneous ways and are an abomination, the Bible says, unto the Lord. They are determined to be disobedient, to be deceitful, but the upright are approved or accepted of the Lord. So how is our walk? How is our conversation? Are we thriving to be upright? God's blessings and favor are upon those who have integrity and do what is right. You know, we know we're not doing what is right when we're look around and see who's watching. We know we're not doing right or saying right. We're looking around and knows who may be hearing what we have to say. And this is the idea behind the word delight. We should do the things that delight our Father. Psalm 119. Our Heavenly Father in verse 1. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 9. The way of the wicked is an abomination unto the Lord, but he that loveth him that followeth after righteousness. Here Solomon states that the Lord loves those who follow after righteousness. The word followeth here, it refers to follow after something or to run after or to pursue or to chase. So it's more than just the idea of following the Lord, but it's having excitement when we do it. In other words, it is a persistent pursuit. There is no quitting or giving up. When I was a young boy, we had a black Belgian shepherd. His name was Blackie. And he had long hair. We adopted him from the dog city dog pound and brought him home. And he would chase anything that would run, including cars. But he really loved to chase cats and rabbits. And he would describe him in this aspect of following, this reference to the Hebrew root word to run after or to pursue or to chase. I literally saw him chasing a rabbit one day. The rabbit made the quick turn. He ran right into the tree. What did he do? He fell over, got back up, and started looking for the rabbit again. I mean, he just following after heart. That's how we should follow after righteousness. When we get knocked down, get back up. Look for God and keep on going. Just continually to follow after him in full pursuit. Chasing something indicates eagerness, enthusiasm, and effort. So how much effort are we in our road, in our direction, and following God in our righteousness? How much are we putting into it? This should be our attitude, again, about righteousness. Not giving up, staying with it. Miss a day of Bible study, pick it back up later that day, pick it up the next morning. Miss a day of quality prayer life, say, Lord, I got to get back on track, and just earnestly fall after it. Don't let staggering, don't let falling over, don't let missing a day side derail you or distract you from picking back up and moving forward. Again, like a dog chasing a cat, we are to enthusiastically and earnestly pursue after righteousness with persistence. When you chase after something, you keep your eye on it so you know where to run. And it's difficult to chase after something that you cannot see or that you're not following. Our eyes should be focused on doing what is right as we pursue it. Our eyes are to be upon the Lord. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Again, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. How are we doing in this area of integrity and uprightness? How are we doing in the area of pleasing the Lord Jesus? How are we doing in the area of searching and hungering after righteousness? Letter D, God's grace is upon the humble. Again, this idea of acceptance and approval, we should be seeking after the Lord. We want to make sure as we seek Him that we are accurate, that our integrity where it needs to be, that we delight in Him. But also we need to make sure that God's grace is upon us. And again, the best way to have the grace of God upon our lives is humility. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 34. Surely He scorneth the scorners, but He giveth grace unto the lowly. God gives grace to the lowly, the Bible says, or the humble. This word grace, again, is from a Hebrew root word, and it means grace, favor, or acceptance, where we began. That acceptance or approval, grace, what we should be seeking after is of the Lord. I've said it 100 times last year. I'll say it again. I've been your pastor a little over 3 years, but it's something I'll continue to say. It's so much easier to be right out here when we're right here. And we can be right here. Again, it helps those relationships. It doesn't make them perfect, but His grace and our relationship with Him helps us to mend, to work on, to improve the relationships we have here on earth as we strive to do that. Again, the scorn of the scorner has its root in his pride, and that's why we should flee from that. Pride causes a person to overvalue himself while he undervalues the Lord. Think about that. If we are not putting value on the Lord in our relationship with Him, pride kicks in, and pride causes a person to overvalue himself while he undervalues the Lord. Pride causes a person to become independent of the Lord and take credit for what God has done in his life. Again, Jesus made it clear concerning pride and humility, and we'll get to that in a moment. Some time back, I gave the illustration of our middle daughter, Kayla, and that aspect of beginning as our children do, they grow independent. And no matter what the weather was, no matter how cold it was, she was determined to tie her own shoes there in the mudroom, to zip up her coat by herself, let me do it, I can do it myself. You know, there are some things that we can do. But we also must remember there's some things that there's no doubt about it. We need the help of God to accomplish it. We may need the help of other godly friends, church family members to help us to accomplish it, and wisdom to know the difference. We'll have an article, in the bulletin, we talk about faith and fellowship in this new year and the aspects of building relationships within our congregation. And one of those things that I'll talk a little bit about Sunday, I want you to read it Sunday, but is including others. When we go to do things in our life, we know that we need the Lord's help. Philippians tells us, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And we know everywhere we go, if we're conscious about it, we know we're bringing the Spirit of God with us. Let me encourage you in building relationships. Again, you'll see it in the bulletin on Sunday. If you're doing something to serve the Lord, whether it's picking up donuts for the coffee fellowship, running down the Lowe's for something, whether it's picking up supplies for the church, whether it's running an errand, taking something off pastor's plate for the day or for the week, if you can, get somebody to go with you. Grab someone else, another believer in our congregation, a young person, another adult, another person you might be mentoring, working with, because that's how we build. We do things for one another, for the house of God, together, and include them. So let's remember, no matter what we're doing, that we're including, by virtue of being a believer, we're including the Holy Spirit in the tasks that we are performing. And let's make sure that we're pleasing Him and don't undervalue Him by going it alone. Again, pride causes a person to become independent of the Lord. John chapter 15 and verse 5. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. James chapter 4 and verse 6. But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but he giveth grace unto the humble. James chapter 4 again in verse 10. Humble yourselves in the sight of God, and he shall lift you up. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 5 and 6. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject to one another and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Verse 6, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Genuine humility is favored or approved by the Lord because it reflects an attitude of gratitude towards the Lord and others that have invested in our lives. And just as others invest in us, again, our theme for this year, let's make sure we're also in investing and taking the time to invest in others, and that comes with genuine humility. If you have accomplished great things, realize that a lot of people have helped you to get where you are, and the Lord has blessed you every step of the way. That's why we take times on occasion for a testimony or two, to brag upon the Lord or how the Lord has used someone else to be a blessing to you. And remember, last Sunday I've challenged you and encouraged you on purpose in our relationship building, faith, family, and fellowship. Try to learn something new about every church member in our church in this new year. Find out something new, something they like, a hobby, a habit, something they don't like, whatever. But find out something about them new that you can learn more about them in their walk as we try to build relationships here. Humility helps us stay away from the thoughts of being better than others or thinking we are God's gift to the world. I have learned real quickly through the years, very quickly, that there's a whole lot more people around smarter than I am. And having the sense of humility and understanding the thoughts, it's realizing that I draw from others. If I need some information in some areas, I know who to talk to or who to ask in the church who is smarter than me or knows more about that topic. We're hoping to, and soon this year, be able to hire someone again on staff and have someone here working on staff. I have no problem with having anyone working with me. I don't have King Saul syndrome. It doesn't bother me to have a young man that can sing, can preach, and do all things better than I can. I have no problem with that. But I'm afraid we live in a society where people who may feel they're an 8 or a 10, they want to hire people that are 4s and 5s to make them look better. That's not what I want. The Bible says iron sharpeneth iron. And having other folks in the church that know things that are more in the background. I mean, if I can't find my Greek lexicon, I'm not sure about a word, and I'm studying, my computer's down, I'll call Brother Mel. I said, Brother Mel, what's the root word of this? Because he seems to know it in all of our studies. Because he studies and he seeks and he reaches and he digs in the world. Nothing wrong with not being the smartest man in the room. Nothing wrong with practicing humility and to realize you need others to make you better than who you are and what you are. Humility keeps our heads from swelling, and it keeps our heart tender with love and reverence for the Lord as well as other believers. A humble person realizes and acknowledges his limits and understands that he can do all things through Christ. We all have our limits in certain categories. And if you're not sure of your shortcomings, gentlemen, ask your wife. She'll help you. But we all have our shortcomings in life. We're not up to the task in every single situation. My wife tickles me on occasion when I try to tackle a handyman job around the house. I'll get things like, are you sure you don't want to ask Brother John for some help on that? Are you sure you don't want to call your son-in-law and ask him to help you on that? Because I'm not known for my handyman skills. I'm known to being friendly. I'm known to being, I would like to think, a good shepherd. But there's some things that I do not do well, even though sometimes I might try to take on the task. So when you get there, Brother Draper, and it looks broke down, I probably did it. But anyway, back to our study. God's favor and approval are upon those with humility, because as the Bible says, they have a teachable spirit and are willing to follow God's will and God's will for their lives. If there's anything lacking in the generation we have today, it's humility. And there's so many young people today that think they have all the answers. I talked to someone the other day, and their goal in life as a young person was, well, I want to be a YouTube influencer. And so I'm like, okay, how are you going to influence? Well, I don't know yet, but that's what I want to do when I grow up. And, you know, we don't know. And, hey, we've all been there as a young person. We all had no idea what we wanted to do. You asked me, I was 13 years old, all I wanted to do was play baseball. That was my end goal. I wasn't thinking about education. I wasn't thinking about anywhere else. But somewhere along the line, I realized that only a small percentage making it to the pro level to make money. Only a small percentage. And I needed to get back in school, or well, stay in school and get my education. I'm glad I did, even though my grammar is still lacking. Thank you for your patience. The grace of God enables us to have a humble mind, again, which helps us bring honor and glory to the Lord. Before we close tonight, I've got a few more things here, but almost finished. I want to share an illustration of humility with you, and I'll exercise some of my humility. I'll have to read it. I remember a time when I was a little younger that I could study, prepare for services, and memorize my outline, and read my texts and preach from down here, whether it was a Sunday morning when I'm usually up there and just memorize. I can't do that anymore. Or if I try to, I always bring my notes because I can't always depend upon it because I'm afraid I'll get that fog or get a brain cramp and can't remember. But I still strive to try to memorize. I still work on memorizing. I read passages of Scripture in reference to the deity of Christ, the Holy Spirit, the local church, and Jesus every morning just to refresh my memory verses or my verses of Scripture that I quote to help me to stay on top of it. It takes work. And so I am going to have to read this as I didn't take the time or try to memorize it. But as a young Irish woman working in England in the late 1800s, Amy Carmichael decided to answer God's call to serve on the mission field. Twice rejected for medical reasons, she eventually found a mission agency willing to put her on a ship and send her to India. We'd be hard-pressed today to get somebody to do that, much less back in the 1800s. She arrived with tropical fever and a temperature of 105. Some missionaries who met her believed she wouldn't last 6 months, but Amy recovered and she never went home. The young missionary soon discovered that the way to reach the Indian people was not only through preaching and teaching, but through sacrifice. And as a young lady, she wrote, "If the ultimate, the hardest cannot be asked of me, if my fellows hesitate to ask it and turn to someone else, then I know nothing of Calvary's love." So she reached out to the poorest and the most despised among them, especially the babies and children given to the Hindu temples, who were forced to serve as slaves and were tortured if they were caught trying to escape. Amy not only felt sorrow for the children, but she took action. She rescued them, built a home, and recruited a staff to care for them. The ministry became known as Donavar Fellowship, and the children called its headmaster Amma, the Tamil word for mother. Those who profited from the enslavement practices, she was known as, those who profited from the slave practices, she was known as the white woman who steals children. Amy Carmichael's mission trip ended 55 years later when she died at the age of 83. During that time, she rescued 1,000 abused, abandoned, and enslaved children. Through her stories, prayers, and devotions, filled 35 books in Britain, not once did she return to hear the praise of her friends and supporters. To Amy, anything that called attention to herself stole attention from the God she served. In 1919, her name was published in Britain's honors list. When she found out about it, she wrote back to England asking to have her name removed. It troubled Amy to have an experience so different from the Lord, who was despised, rejected, and not kindly honored. Ironically, the woman who wanted no honor other than that of being Christ's servant,